As we were starting out there with Psalm 450, I was thinking Brother Aaron perhaps picked that one particularly for me this morning. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, help me stand. As I get ready to preach for the first time since surgery, I hope I can stay standing the whole time, because I'm not sure how I'll do if I try to switch back over to a chair halfway through. But just very excited and thankful and blessed to be able to be here together with you all. And just so thankful for the Lord's goodness and His blessing and His help in every aspect of my life, of our lives. And I'm thankful for each one of you and your faithfulness and your love and your support and care and just all of the things that you all do every day and every week to bless and help and encourage each other. It's important, and it's as the one passage says, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It's a blessing. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, I pray this morning now as we come to this time and we open your word and we, Lord, we want to be students of your heart. Father, I pray that you would quiet our hearts and our minds from all of our own thoughts and distractions that would keep us from focusing fully on you and your heart. And Father, I pray this morning that you would teach us of yourself, that you would give us a glimpse and an understanding deeper into your personality, your character, and Father, that we would fall deeper in love with you, and that our love would be active, working love. In Jesus' precious name, amen. This morning I want to start out in Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to read a section, and then we'll talk a while, and then go on from there. And Matthew chapter 7, we're going to start with verse number 13. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, he says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate." And this is Jesus speaking here in one of his discourses. He says, this is actually the end of the section that we call the Sermon on the Mount. And he says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat." Now, I've heard someone make a joke about the two old rock songs about the highway to hell and the stairway to heaven, and they said that gives you a little idea about the expected crowds to to go on these. But I fear that both of those men who wrote those songs were on the highway to hell. But one here is a straight gate, Jesus says, and few there be that go in thereat. And the other is a wide gate, and broad is the way, and it's easy, it's common, it's normal, it makes sense, it feels good, and many there be which go in thereat. Number 14, verse 14, he says, "But straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." And how true we see this to be, not only in our day and age, in all time periods through history, few there be that find it. The majority of the world, the bigger part of the crowd, is going to take the wide path to destruction. Verse 15, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And I've often thought how hearing my Savior say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, is the most precious thing that you could ever hear, that the human ear could ever hear. And this has got to be the worst thing that the human ear could ever hear. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. We see here very clearly that it is not enough to be a nice person or a good person. It's not enough to talk right. You must have the right fruit. It's not enough to claim him as Lord and Master. You must do the will of your Father which is in heaven. It's not enough to even show some exceptional supernatural works, supposedly in the name of Christ Jesus. We have in our day and age many people and huge denominations that are fascinated by the exciting and the supernatural and all the things that grab our human attention. And these people, many of them, are going to stand before Christ saying, look at these exciting supernatural things that I partook in your name. And he will say, I never knew you. Why? Because you did not work the will of my Father which is in heaven. You never walked with me. You may have hung around people who claimed my name. You may have said, Lord, Lord, you may have testified that you were a good tree, but did you bear good fruit? Obedience is key. Obedience is key. Some of these workers of iniquity may be those primarily who are guilty of sins of omission. Not necessarily that they committed heinous acts, but they didn't obey. They didn't know and follow and fulfill the will of God the Father. These people may be over the top excited about Jesus. I met a young man one day who was just fired up about the things of God. And his comment to me was, the Holy Spirit rocks! Interesting way of phrasing it. But as I learned to know this young man, he didn't have a walk with the Lord. He didn't know the Word of God. He didn't display the fruit of a life surrendered and obedient to Jesus Christ. But the Holy Spirit rocks. He was full of excitement about the many wonderful works and the supernatural and the amazing and the feelings of excitement that he would get when he would be sitting in church and he'd hear the songs sung and the musicians were doing a good job and the preacher would get up and say things in such a way that would get him all fired up. And he loved those feelings. But he had no depth. He didn't know the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit rocks. but he didn't walk with Christ. And it was so sad. I pray that young man, I haven't seen him or had any contact with him in years, but I pray that he's found a deeper walk with the Lord Jesus Christ and actually rooted in the dirt of the gospel. But it's easy for people to get excited about feelings and experiences, but not be studious students of the Word. We as human beings are naturally lazy, tremendously lazy. And I find it in myself. I see it all around me. If you don't think you find it in yourself, you're probably not mature enough to see it. Because it's there. We all tend to be lazy. We want the easy way out. We're talking this morning in 1 Corinthians about those that are carnal, he says, who are following after a man. And many times when we follow after a man, it's because we want a simple 10-step program or 12-step program, because it takes daily connection and walking with a living God to keep a living, vibrant relationship. But if you can hand me a 10-step plan, I can figure out when to fit that into my life a whole lot easier. And I can check it off and go, okay, I got that, got that, got that, got that. All right, I'm good to go. You don't actually have to take the time to get quiet before the Lord. You don't have to actually take the time to soak in the Word of Christ Jesus and learn to follow and to fulfill the Word and the will of your Father in heaven. It's easy to get excited about the experiences and the feelings and not be a student of the Word, not be careful and obedient in how we live our lives. I had one man I was witnessing to the one day, and he was drunk as a skunk, staggering around the street, drunk. Jesus is my homeboy. Jesus is my homeboy. I'm not actually familiar enough with the term. I had to go look up, what does that even mean to say that somebody's your homeboy? Basically, it means he's my best buddy. If Jesus was actually your closest friend, you would want to follow his ways. But it's easy to like the idea of who God is, to like the idea of a Savior who loves me unconditionally and just died for me, and I'm good to go. I don't have to actually pursue him. I don't actually have to walk anything out. I can just take the free ride and just go on with my life however I want to. I want to go on here in Matthew chapter 7 from verse 24. We'll start with verse 24 and go on. Jesus, continuing here, says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." Utter destruction here. Great was the fall of it. This person's life was totally destroyed. What is this rock that Jesus speaks of? He says, "He that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them is like the man that built on the rock." So what is the rock? The rock is the Word of God. The living Word of God. the written word, and Jesus Christ, who is the living embodiment of the word. Built on Him, on His precepts, on His principles, on His commandments, on His heart, by the power of His Holy Spirit. What is the sand? You think about what sand is. Sand is a bunch of little rocks, right? Sand is a bunch of little rocks. Jesus Christ is the rock. The Word of God is the rock. All of my words, my thoughts, your words, your thoughts, the thoughts and ideas of the world around us, the ideologies, the things that make sense, the things that come naturally to humanity, that's the sand. All these little rocks, each one is a rock, but it has no substance, it has no foundation, it has no solidity. It's blown here and blown there. You go out in the desert and you see mounds, huge mounds of sand that are blown up by the wind. You're not blowing some big, massive rock around. That's the little bitty rocks that can change and drift. And, well, it doesn't make sense today, so I'm going to go over here and embrace this ideology. I'm going to go over here and take this theory because this one isn't making sense anymore. That's all right. It's just one more, a different little rock. And that's fine because they have no inherent value. So if you're going to embrace one little rock, you might as well embrace any little rock. They're all the same. They're all little pieces of sand. Neither one of them, not any one of them, and not any compilation of them is ever going to be a solid foundation to build a life on. But Jesus Christ and the Word of God is a solid rock on which you and I can build our lives. And the rain can descend, and the floods can come, and the wind can blow and beat on our house, and it will stand because it's founded on the rock of Jesus Christ and His Word. James talks about a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He says he's like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. It's this way, and it's that way, and it's over here, and over there, and there's no stability, there's no security, there's no foundation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, we are warned and commanded, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. If you open your ears and you open your eyes and you hear and process the things going on around you, there are so many things around you that are exalting themselves against the knowledge of God. And not just on the outside, but on the inside. Because my own common sense often tries to exalt itself against the knowledge of God. All the things that just feel right. Follow your heart. All of these things that people say that just feel right. They seem to make sense. And they're exalting themselves against the knowledge of Christ. Those are sand. They're little tiny rocks that are trying to take the place of the rock. And so many build on the sand. And then they wonder why their lives fall apart. They wonder why their marriages end in divorce. They wonder why their kids won't talk to them. I wonder why everybody hates them and why they hate everybody. Their life is destroyed. Their house fell, and great was the fall of it. Now, brothers and sisters, this doesn't just end at salvation when you make a choice to start building your life on that rock. Because it is so easy for us, and we have such a tendency to start sticking little bits of sand in underneath here and there. Even though we might be building on the rock, we start to theorize and come up with ideas and try to figure things out in our own minds, in our own mental capacity, and we start to tuck sand in underneath this little corner of the wall over here. We start to tuck sand into this joint over here, and oh, well, there's a little hole there. Well, that's all right. We'll just fill a little sand in there. That's all right. It makes sense. It fills the space. No big deal. But it is a big deal. Because if I'm building on a rock and I start to tuck sand in underneath the corner of the foundation, I'm not going to be square and level anymore. Everything's going to be unbalanced. Everything's going to be unstable. My joints and connections are going to start to get loose and flimsy. And then, when real life happens, when the storms come, I may not have utter destruction, but what part of my house fell that caused pain and suffering? There's a real danger, brothers and sisters, of blaming the rock or beginning to question and distrust God because of my experience, when the only reason there was instability in my life is because I started to tuck sand in on top of the rock. Don't you see that around you? I do. We start to think God's unreasonable, harsh, demanding, thinking His ways don't work. We're so prone to trust what we can feel, touch, taste, and experience. And many times I've seen people get bitter against God because of experiences that they've had and broken expectations, when the whole reason that it failed was because they began to tuck their own thoughts and ideas and their sand in underneath and into the joints. This is reality. Jesus Christ warns us here to make sure that we are building on the rock and the rock alone. How easy it is to look for someone else to blame and to begin to try to blame God when we start to realize that things are falling apart. Well, I'm building on the rock. Well, you may be on top of the rock, but are you building on it if you're also tucking in sand? I want to turn to James chapter 1, verse 21 through 25. James chapter 1, verse 21 through 25. He says, "Wherefore, lay apart," that means throw it away, set it aside, get rid of it, "all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." How? What is the engrafted word? The engrafted word is the word of God that we have now sown in our hearts, in our lives, that it's now taking root and beginning to grow and become a part of us. The engrafted word. This isn't just something you're reading and enjoying and going on your way now. This is actually becoming part of your life. And you're tending it. You're watering it. You're caring for it. You've taken it as yours. The engrafted word. Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Verse 22, he says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only." Who did Jesus say is like the man that built on the sand? Those that heard his sayings and didn't believe them, didn't accept them and embrace them and build their life on them. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. How many times do we deceive our own selves? Oh, I love to listen to good sermons. I love to hear the word of God preached. I love these good Christian songs. But are you doing it? Or are you just hearing it? Do you enjoy hearing it? Because there were thousands and thousands of people who followed Jesus around for the 3.5 years when he was ministering here on earth. And they loved to follow him around. They loved to hear what he had to say. But they weren't doers of the word. That was a very small group that was actually doers of the word. And many of these who would follow him around, sometimes for weeks at a time, when they'd hear something that didn't make sense, suddenly they'd be offended and all of a sudden it didn't matter anymore. And they'd just, all right, time to go back to my life. They were hearers of the word. They weren't doers of the word. They were taking everything that Jesus said and they were sifting it through the sieve of their mind to see if it made sense to them. And if it didn't make sense to them, they'd, oh, that's all right. We'll just substitute something else for that. We'll just put a little grain of sand in there. How easy it is as human beings to try to sieve God's word through our mind and see whether it makes sense to me as to whether I'm going to accept it and build my life on it. It says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he is. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. What did Jesus say? Blessed are they that do the will of my Father, which is in heaven. He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. This morning I want to challenge you and ask you to look honestly at your own heart, at your own life, and ask yourself the question, am I building on the rock or am I building on the sand? And if I'm building on the rock, am I tucking sand in places? Am I building on the rock alone? Am I a doer of the word? Am I looking into this law of liberty, the word of God, and continuing therein? This has the idea of a life that is consumed by the pursuit of the word of God. No longer am I coming and putting in my couple of minutes or my hour or whatever I've decided for myself that I'm going to try to do each day in the word of God, and I'm putting in my time and I'm picking up a few nuggets and then I'm going my way and doing my own thing. But I'm continuing therein. I'm making this my way of life. When I'm faced with a situation, my first thought is, how would God have me to respond here? That's my interest. That's my desire. That's what matters to me. I don't care what he thinks about me or what she thinks about me or what's the normal way of doing it or what makes sense. I want to know what Jesus says and what he wants me to do. And that's all that matters. Everything else has no value.
That's what's contained in the thought of continuing therein. Not a forgetful hearer. How many times have you read a chapter in the Bible and you got done and you went, what was that about again? It's easy to do because our minds wander. They're lazy. But continue therein. Are you building on the rock? Or are you building on the sand? Let's pray. Father, I pray this morning that each one of us would be honest with ourselves before you. Father, that we would search our hearts and get out the leaf blower and blow away the sand. Father, that we would measure ourselves against the Word of God and where we find ourselves out of line with it, to make correction, to embrace your word as opposed to our natural tendencies. And Father, that we would commit in the deepest part of our beings, in the deepest core of our hearts, to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Father, give us discernment to understand and to see the sand that we so easily allow to take precedent and take place and get given importance in our lives. Father, help us to build on the rock of the Word of God in Jesus Christ. In your name I pray. Amen.